14 months after her marriage ended, Lisa is doing better than she expected. She reached out. She broke the freeze. She gave first a coffee here, a check in there, a text that said, "I've been thinking about you," and it worked. The warm replies came back. A handful of reconnected friendships came back with them. By any normal measure, she is doing the thing right. And yet, Saturday night, she sits in her apartment and she notices something that's hard to name at first. She has people. She has warmth. She can call 3 or 4 of them right now and they would pick up. But she also has this feeling, and maybe you know this feeling, that the people in her life are scattered. A coffee here, a check-in there. Good things, but spread thin, like embers that haven't quite found each other yet. Nothing that adds up to the standing circle she had when she was married, the kind where someone would just show up because it was Tuesday, and Tuesday was the thing. She has warmth without shape. And warmth without shape is not a circle. It's a collection of nice moments that never becomes a home. That gap, the gap between warm one-offs and a circle that holds, is exactly what this episode is about. And the answer is 3 steps that almost nobody takes on purpose, even though they're the whole thing. Here's the thing. Almost everyone gets wrong when they're rebuilding. They think if the individual relationships are good, the circle will take care of itself. Like if every single friendship is warm enough, some kind of circle will just grow up around them. It doesn't work that way, and it's worth understanding why, because once you see it, the fix makes total sense. Good one-off moments are like seeds in separate pots. Each one is real and alive. But seeds in separate pots don't make a garden. A garden needs the seeds in the same ground, and it needs someone to keep showing up to tend it. A circle works the same way. It needs a place where the same people keep showing up. Not a perfect place, not a fancy place, just a consistent place. The problem for Lisa, and for most people in a rebuild, isn't that her friendships aren't real. They are. The problem is that nothing is pulling them toward the same ground. Every coffee is its own separate event, its own one-off warmth. Nothing connects them. There's no anchor, no recurring moment that says, "This is ours, this is where our people come." And without that anchor, no matter how many good one-offs you stack up, you never quite get a circle. You just get a longer list of nice one-offs. So, the 3-step build is really just the answer to that one problem. How do you give your scattered people a place to keep coming back to? So here are the 3 steps, in order, because the order is part of what makes them work. Step 1 is inventory, and it means actually writing it down, not in your head, on paper or in your phone, whatever you'll actually do. The question is, who is within reach right now? Not who you wish were closer. Not the old best friend who moved to another city 10 years ago. Who is actually reachable? People you've recently reconnected with, friendly neighbors, the woman from the thing you do on Thursdays, the people from work you actually like, the cousin you've always meant to know better. Almost everyone who does this exercise comes out of it surprised. They have more raw material than they thought. The freeze and the scatter make it feel like no one is there. But when you actually write the names down, the list is usually longer than you expected. 6 names, 8 names, sometimes more. Lisa did this on a Sunday afternoon and wrote 11 names. 11 people who were warm, nearby, and would likely say yes to something. She had been walking around feeling like she had nobody with 11 people's names on the page. The inventory doesn't give you a circle yet. It gives you the material, and you cannot build with what you can't see. That's all step 1 does. It makes the raw material visible, so you know what you're working with. Step 2 is ask, and the word that matters is specific, not "we should get together sometime," not "let me know if you're ever around." Those are invitations to nothing. They feel warm, but they ask the other person to do all the work of making something happen, which is the very thing that never gets done. A real ask has three parts. It has a what, a when, and a me hosting it. Come to brunch Sunday at my place. Walk with me Thursday morning at 8. Come over Friday and let's watch something, not let's hang out. Come. Come to a specific thing at a specific time that I am putting on for you. That specificity is a gift. It removes all the friction. The other person doesn't have to figure anything out. They just say yes or no. Lisa picked three names from her list of 11, three people she felt most drawn to, and she sent each of them a specific invite, brunch at her place the first Sunday of the month. Two of the three said yes immediately. The third said, not this month, but yes to next. That's three people with one specific ask, which is exactly how it starts. A circle doesn't open with a grand announcement. It opens with a small, specific, genuine invitation to come. Step three is rhythm, and this is the step everyone skips, which is why so many rebuilds stall out. Rhythm means you make the thing repeat. Not just one brunch, the first Sunday brunch, the standing Thursday walk, the monthly dinner where the same people know to show up. This is the step that turns a nice event into a circle. And here's why it matters so much more than it might seem. There's a finding that shows up in the research on how closeness actually builds between people. Not as a famous law or some big theory, just a quiet thing. The numbers keep saying, the more often two people are in the same place together, the closer they tend to feel. Even when nothing dramatic happens, even when they just talk about ordinary things. Not intensity, not deep talks at 2A. M just, showing up to the same people again and again until you're woven in. What that means in practice is that a good recurring thing, even a low-key one, builds more belonging over time than a string of perfect one-off moments. The boring power of repetition is the real engine of closeness. A once-a-month brunch that runs for a year creates something a spectacular one-time dinner never can. So, the question isn't, how do I make this gathering special enough to remember? The question is, how do I make this gathering something that happens again? Lisa's first brunch was not fancy. She served eggs and toast and made too much coffee. Two friends came. They sat around her kitchen counter for 2.5 hours and talked about everything and nothing. It was warm and ordinary and exactly right. And she decided, before they left, same time next month. That decision was worth more than anything that happened at the brunch itself. She didn't find a circle that day. She scheduled one into existence. Now, here's the pushback I hear most often from people who've tried rebuilding before, and it's the one that stings a little because it's honest. What if I start the recurring thing, and then life happens, and I miss a month, and it falls apart? What if I set up the brunch, and then I get sick, or work blows up, or I just have a bad stretch, and I let it go? Am I just setting myself up to fail again? I want to take that seriously, because it's not a weak question. It's a very real fear for anyone who's been through a hard season and then watched the things they try to rebuild fall back apart. So here's what I'd say. First, the rhythm doesn't have to be perfect to work. A circle that meets 11 months out of 12 is still a circle. The test of a recurring thing isn't whether it never breaks, it's whether it comes back. The first Sunday brunch that got skipped in March and came back in April is still the first Sunday brunch. The gap did not kill it. The coming back is what makes it real. Second, a rhythm that's easy to keep is worth far more than a rhythm that's ambitious and hard to hold. Once a month beats once a week, if once a week isn't going to actually happen. A 30-minute walk beats a 2-hour dinner if the walk is the one you'll actually do when you're tired. Make the recurring thing as easy to say yes to as you possibly can, and then keep saying yes. Lisa missed her second brunch. Her son got sick. She texted the group, next month, same day, I'll be there. They all texted back, we'll be there. The circle didn't break. It just waited a month. And that was the moment Lisa stopped being afraid she couldn't hold it. There's one more piece here, and it's the one that changes how you think about the whole thing. When Lisa started her first Sunday brunch, she thought of herself as the host, someone doing a nice thing for her people, putting in the effort to bring them together. That's true, and it's generous, and there's nothing wrong with it. But about 3 months in, she noticed something bigger was happening. She had become the anchor, not just for her friends, for herself. She had a thing now, a known thing. Her people knew it and she knew it. When the rough weeks came, and they came, she didn't face them alone wondering if anyone would show up for her because she already knew they would. The first Sunday was coming. The people would be there because it was the thing now. And that anchor turned out to matter as much to her as it did to them. One of the real gifts of building a recurring thing is that you stop having to wonder. You stop carrying that low-level question that hangs over a lot of lonely stretches. Will anyone show up? You already answered that question. You put it on the calendar, and they said yes, and the calendar comes back around. The circle doesn't just hold your people, it holds you. You stop trying to be a well, pouring everything out for everyone. You become the person who keeps the jar going, and the jar is for you too. Drop something in for yourself. That's not selfishness. That's how the jar works. So here's your one thing this week, and I want to be clear about what kind of one thing it is. This week is not a test. It is not a self-check. It is not a chance to grade yourself on where your circle stands. This week is a give. One small, specific act of building toward your people. Run the three steps, even just once, and make the step you take a give. Start with inventory if you haven't yet. Take 5 minutes, really, just 5 minutes, and write the names of every person in your reach who is warm, even a little. Don't filter for perfection. Write the list, then pick one name from that list and give them a specific invite to something you will actually host. Not we should hang out. Come to something. A walk, a meal, a porch, sit on a Friday. Something real, with a day attached, that you are offering to make happen for them. And then plant the rhythm, tell them, or just decide in your own heart, that this is going to be the thing that repeats. Put the second one on the calendar before the first one happens. The invite itself is the give. You are giving someone a place to be wanted at a specific time by you. That is not nothing. That is one of the best things one person can give another. And if you already have a recurring thing that has been a little quiet lately, a group chat that's gone cold, a standing dinner that missed a few months, then your give this week is to restart it. One text, same as before, next month, I'm in. That text is a give. Send it. So that's the three-step build, inventory, ask, rhythm. Three plain moves that turn scattered warmth into a standing circle. They work not because they are clever, but because they are honest about what belonging actually needs to grow. It needs a list of real people. It needs a real invite. And it needs the thing to come back around again and again until you are woven into each other's weeks. Lisa's first Sunday brunch is still going. 7 months in now. The people are different. Some came and drifted. A few new ones joined. But the thing keeps coming back. And on the hard Saturdays, the ones where the apartment feels too quiet and the old loneliness tries to come back in, she knows what Sunday holds. That is the whole game. Not the perfect circle, just the one that keeps coming back. One more episode left, and it's the one that goes deeper, past the wider circle, into the closest few, the one or two bonds that a hard season can shake the hardest and that matter the most to rebuild. It's the tender one, watched over, as always, by Daisy. I'll see you there.